everybody, and welcome to episode 65 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Monday, October 7th, 2013. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and I'm here to talk to you about a bunch of indie games, a lot of which I have written about, well, all of which I've written about on the old site, Pixelated Sausage. I don't know where you got that name from, but yeah. The first game I want to talk about is a game called The Useful Dead. It's an Xbox Live indie game, and I think it's also available on PC and Mac too. Not exactly sure. I'm trying to remember. I think it is. I'm going to double check now because I can do that, and I really don't care. I don't mind fact checking here. It is available on PC and Mac. The Xbox Live indie game version is $1, and the PC Mac version is $2, so not a big difference, so either way, you're going to get a good deal. But the game is really fun. It's an interesting take on the platformer because The Useful Dead is a literal title, as in you use the dead bodies of your former self to clear levels. It has a contrasting art style to what actually ends up happening in the game, where you have these little cute little like animals. They're basically sort of like Kirby-ish, where they're just balls and then they have ears and tails and little feet. And what you have to do is you're going to have to kill a certain number of your characters in order to get through a level. And there's a number on either the left or top right side of the screen, which indicates it's basically like golf, your par level, how many, you know, is like, this is the ideal number you can get. And, you know, there could be a section of spikes that you can't jump across. So you have to jump in the middle, die, and then jump on your dead body, your you know, a different character's dead body, to jump across and get to the exit, which is just a door. There are other times where you have to use a corpse to then, you know, to rest on top of a button so that a door will open. You get to kick your dead bodies around. And it gets gradually more complicated, and the puzzles, you know, they change as you keep playing, which is nice. And it's just a really fun, interesting indie game, you know. It's something that is a bit different. There probably has been a game like this, but I can't think of one off the top of my head that has implemented this exact type of gameplay. And that's always nice to see, and it really works well. The controls feel good, the jumping and all that. I mean, it's not like I ever felt like I missed a jump or I died because I screwed up. I mostly, for the most part, you know, I felt like if I died, it's because I intentionally killed myself because I needed to die so I could get to the exit and all that jazz. But yeah, that was a pleasant surprise. And I definitely recommend checking it out. You can play a good chunk of it in the demo version, and then there's no reason not to pay the dollar to unlock it. But yeah, I think you get about 10 levels, and it's really fun. Highly recommend it. It might be my favorite of the games I've played, indie games, in this past week or so. The next game I want to talk about is called Reaper, Tale of a Pale Swordsman. And this game is on, like, everything. It's on the Ouya. Yes, the Ouya, because that is still a thing. It's on PC, Mac, Windows Phone, Windows 8, Android, iOS. I think that's it. But that's a lot of things. That is a lot of things. It could very well even be on BlackBerry. Who knows? I don't know what's on BlackBerry, but I don't remember them listing anything about it being on BlackBerry. But this is a game from a studio that I actually, I can't remember the name of the studio, but they are a studio that I never realized was responsible for so many games that I love. The first of which is Radiant, which is one of the first iOS games I ever played, and was like, this is super simple, but it looks beautiful, and it's just simple fun, and it's really, it was a perfect, you know, mobile, just play for a little bit or play on the go kind of game. You know, I can't remember if it was touch controls or strictly tilt controls, but it was a tilt control game that worked. So yeah, That's an awesome game. And they've done a whole bunch of other really fun games, like Evac, I think it was called, and also Radiant Defense was a tower defense game. They're an awesome studio with, I think one of their the best aspects about their games is the art, and Reaper is no exception. The art in Reaper is fantastic. It is a beautiful game with a lot of variation, and the enemy designs are all great. The enemies also play differently, so you're always fighting against different types of enemies. And this the game is basically a side-scrolling action RPG, I guess. It's all each level is just one blank screen. It's not blank, but it's one screen. It's not like you transition between areas. It, you know, will scroll because it'll be bigger than the screen can handle, but it is just one screen. It's not like there are different areas. There are different areas in terms of you have an overworld map, and then you just have sort of like, hey, there's a job for you to do with this thing, which is kill all the bees here, or, you know, go find this or whatever. But it's a lot of fun, and it controls well on mobile devices. I did also play it on Windows 8 using a 360 controller, and that would still be my preferred way, though the menu navigation with the controller is terrible. So I would still, if you're going to use a controller, then just use a mouse for the actual menu navigation, map navigation, all that kind of stuff. But on the mobile devices, it's what I like about it is that it doesn't use a virtual D-pad or virtual buttons, which is something I really hate. It just uses simple tap and swipe controls. And also the character you control, the pale swordsman, which, you know, I'm quite pale, so I could relate with this fine fella. He automatically will attack anything when he's at a certain distance. So that's another nice thing, that you don't have to worry about your basic attacks. When you get near an enemy, he will just automatically attack. But also, I mean, there's, you know, swipe up in the right side of the screen, you do an up attack, swipe down, you do a down attack, you swipe left and right on that side of the screen, and you do a dash, and you tap there, you get jump, and then, you know, the other side of the screen, you move left and right with your character and stuff. It's very simple, and it's touch controls that, while they're not perfect, they still work really well, and it's a much better implementation of touch controls for a action-type game compared to other games that you actually use, like a virtual D-pad or joystick or, you know, analog stick and buttons. The stick is something that I can get used to, but the buttons never feel good, because it's just sort of, you have this small area where you have to press, and it just doesn't always work out the best. So that's another good game. Once again, that is Reaper, Tale of Pale Swordsman, which is available on everything. It's not an Xbox Live indie game, though. But you can find it everywhere else, even Windows Phone 8. The other one I want to talk about just briefly, because I did mention before, is Clark, which is on Ouya. Only on Ouya right now, but they are planning to bring it out for Android and iOS, and it's also Steam Greenlight. I think it recently surpassed 3,000 votes. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure how many votes you need to get, like, you know, officially cleared for Steam. But it's a great game with a good sense of humor and decent puzzles, and it looks good too. I mean, it's just a quality game that I feel bad for, because it's on the Ouya, and who the hell owns an Ouya? I do. And who the hell owns an Ouya and turns it on often? I don't. I just turn it on, you know, maybe once a month, and I'm like, this thing exists, right? Remember this thing? I wonder if it's changed at all. Oh, no, it hasn't. It's still crappy. Okay, I've had enough. That's my Ouya experience. But, you know, I play this game, and I'm like, hey, this is a fun game, and it's exclusive to the Ouya right now, which really sucks for everyone else. So definitely go to Steam and, you know, give it an upvote. It's called Clark. That's it. C-L-A-R-K. Which is a terrible name for this game. It's a terrible name for any game, but especially terrible for this name. Because the robot's name is like Clark number 37. But still, oh, I have a game about a robot who solves puzzles by, you know, picking up boxes and manipulating lasers. I'm going to call it Clark. And there's going to be no subtitle either. There will be no subtitle because Clark is obviously a great name for a game about a robot who solves puzzles with boxes and stuff. And like I said in my little write-up about it, I think it's just, I like the idea of the game being where it's in the future and the warehouse is full of just a bunch of Ouyas that were never sold and nobody wanted or returned or just thrown away. And those are the boxes that the robot is actually moving. It's just a bunch of Ouyas that nobody wants or cares about. So, yeah, that's Clark. The last indie I want to talk about is an indie I did not like one bit. It's called Super Sprint Commando Extreme, and it's an Xbox Live indie game, only on Xbox Live, and it is an endless runner, so your little guy just moves on his own, and you basically just control when he jumps, and also when he shoots. And it is terrible because it is so damn hard and frustrating. In the description, they say, oh, can you handle this game that is trying to be the hardest game of all time, or something along those lines. And I don't have a problem with trying to be the hardest game of all time or going after being hard and challenging, but it would be nice if you eased the player into that experience and didn't just brutally kill them right in the first few seconds of playing the game. That's not really, it doesn't make anyone, even somebody who enjoys challenging games, want to keep playing, because I am someone who enjoys playing challenging games. I really love Dark Souls. I love games like Super Meat Boy or, you know, the like. I beat Super Meat Boy. I know I got my stupid whatever. I think you get him as a pet. I have him. I don't keep him as a pet anymore because cats are better. But, yeah, I beat that. I played a whole bunch of difficult games. I would rather play Battletoads than this game, because at least Battletoads is fun in the beginning. This game sucks right away because it's just overly frustrating, and the jump feels all right, but randomly I will double jump for no reason. And I don't mean double jump in there. I mean when I hit the ground after a jump, my little guy just jumps just a little bit, like I've double tapped the button or something, or press it again as soon as it hit the ground, which I didn't. My hand was not even touching it at that point. So that's frustrating. And you know, and in a game like that, where it's really hard and requires these tight controls and precision and all that, there should never be a time where the game is screwing you or you feel screwed by the game. You should always feel at fault. You should be at fault in these games. It should be your fault, not the fault of the game. And too often when I fail, I feel like it's the game and not me. But it is just way too hard. I did beat the first level, which I don't know if how challenging that is for everyone else. I beat it, and I didn't feel great about beating it. It wasn't like, woohoo, I beat the first level. It was like, fuck you, game. That's how I felt after playing that. And it was not F you in a good way. It was just like, I hate you. I never want to see you again. We're breaking up, and that's that. I'm not taking you to prom. But yeah, that game is disappointing because it looks good. It has a really old school look to it, sort of, not exactly like the original Game Boy, but like somewhere between like a Game Boy and the old Tiger handheld pieces of junk, sort of. But it does look good. The music's good. I was really excited for it because even the introduction is nice, where it says press start, or then in parentheses it says you can press A2 or something like that. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun and stupid. And then it was like, no, this is terrible. This is horrible. What are you doing to me? Why are you being so difficult? Why are you trying so hard to make me not like you? I want to like you, but you don't want me to like you. It makes no sense. Stop doing it to yourself. I mean, the game is punching itself in the face without making me, you know, I'm not the one who is forcing his hand to punch himself in the face. He's doing it all on his own. And it's really just sad. So you can try it out for yourself if you want, but I was not a fan. Once again, it's Super Sprint Commando Extreme on the Xbox Live Indie Game Marketplace. And that's all the indies I want to talk about. But before I do end this show, I want to say that I finally watched the last episode of this season of Under the Dome. God, did I hate it. And I really remember enjoying the episode before that. But who knows? I might not be remembering right because that was like a month or so ago. But I hated this episode so much. And I talked to my mother, who read the book. She reads a lot and she loves Stephen King. And she was a fan of this season for probably the, you know, first 7-8 episodes. I don't know. Like, she was a fan until like the last few episodes. And she lost her mind when she was talking about how much she really hates the show now and just how much it is, you know, strayed from the book and that all the changes were not good. And I don't, it is just a mess. And I don't know. I wonder how well it actually did and if maybe in the downtime between seasons, if the second season will still be a reality or not. It's just been horrible and I don't like it. It's bad. Everything's bad. It is just, I want to poo on it. But yeah, Under the Dome, dumb crap. But that will do it for today's episode. Yeah, so go to Pixelated Sausage and check out a whole bunch of writings and shenanigans. I'm doing little indie spotlights, which are not really reviews, or they're kind of like previews and whatnot. But those are always of indie games that I do like. So if it says indie spotlight, that means it's a good thing. And what I have to say is good. So you should check those out. And then I have started a reverse, the bizarro version of that called Indie Blacklight. Because you know how black lights are used in hotel rooms to show you where all the sperm has been ejaculated in the room. And basically in any hotel room, that sperm has been ejaculated everywhere. It's on the walls, the ceilings, the windows, the sheets, the carpet, the TV, the Bible, everywhere. So that's why it's called Indie Blacklight. And those are games that aren't that great or, you know, have potential and then screw it all up. Sort of like that Super Sprinter Commando Extreme game, which was my first indie blacklight story, article, post, whatever. But all that's at pixelatedsausage.com. And now for podcasts. You should check out the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio, which is at pixelatedradio.com. And you can also find that on Twitter, Pixelated Radio. But it's also on iTunes, Zune, and Stitcher Radio, and you should definitely rate it and review it and subscribe to it. Tell your friends about it. It's funny now because this episode here, this Pixelated Sausage number 65, officially means I've done more episodes of this than Pixelated Radio, despite Pixelated Radio being like 2.5 years old now or even older. So that's just funny. But you should also check out the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Cast at twoheadednerd.com, the Undercover Unitards Podcast at undercoverunitards.com, and the Grandam Unleashed Podcast at, just go to iTunes and leave me alone. I'm on Twitter at Kush3 and Instagram mkush, that's the letter M and then just Kush, M-K-U-S-H. And yeah, that about does it. You should also go to frontburner.com, frontburner without the E, that's burner without the E, so frontburnr.net. Check out that site, register, participate, just, you know, chill out there, man. It's all good. It's all good. We got giveaways, we got friendly people, it's a great community, you know, everyone's wonderful and delightful there. There are no bad people there except me. So if you've already been able to tolerate me for, you know, however long you've been listening to the show, then you'll do fine on Front Burner because everyone else is much better than me, especially that Deanie McDeaner Finnerson. I love that guy because I just love saying his name because I love screwing it up. I think it's like Dean Stevenson. But I prefer Deanie McDeanerson or Deanie McPherson, Deanie McCurnison. So yeah, go to frontburner.net, join in, do all that stuff. There's currently a contest to win a free PlayStation 4. by going to a site called Trade for Cash and checking it out and then leaving some feedback. All the details are at frontburner.net, so go there and you can potentially win a free PlayStation 4, which that's a pretty good deal, huh? So go there and go there, be square, and get squared away in your head. Well, I don't know what the hell that means. But yeah, that about does it. I've been playing a bit more GTA Online. I don't know. I'm kind of paranoid now and don't want to play it because of all the reports of people losing their character. If that happened to me, I would probably just stop playing for good. But yeah. And now I have an inkling to play Disney Infinity after picking up the Jack Skellington character, because I just adore Jack Skellington as a character. I adore that movie. It is one of my favorite Disney movies, one of my favorite musicals. It's the only Disney re-release that I ever saw in the theater when it came out in 3D. I never watched another Disney/Pixar re-release, so that's quite telling, I think. And I would do it again if it came out. I do wish I went out to see Jurassic Park when that released, but I'm an idiot. But yeah. And the characters are actually pretty nice. I'm surprised. They're much nicer to have out than the Skylanders characters. So yeah, they'd be a much better. Just, I still don't think they're exactly worth the price. It's ridiculous how much. I mean, this guy cost $14. So. That was dumb, and this is dumb for me extra because I don't have the game and have no use for him other than to look at him and be like, hey, you look cool. And he does look cool. But yeah, it's a nicer quality than I thought, and it's whatever. It's like this bendy material. I don't know if it's rubber. But yeah, it's a nice thing. But I kind of want to play I've wanted to play the game, but I'm not going to pay that price for it. And I had a friend recently ask me about it, and I told him not to get it. Like, he asked me if the $60 was a good deal on it, and I don't know if that is a good deal, if, you know, how it's been discounted before in the past, but I have a feeling like it might get a discount to $40, or, you know, at least cheaper than $60 as Skylanders Swap Force comes out, because that is obviously the clear competition and all that for Disney Infinity. So yeah, I told him to wait, and I'm looking to wait. I almost got a used copy. It was like, I don't know, whatever 50% off of 75 is. So I don't know, it's like $37.50 or something for a used copy of Disney Infinity. But I didn't buy it. I don't know. I might still bite. But yeah, that's the end now. Disney Infinity, how is it? Is it worth it? How's the toy box thing and other people creating content and playing that? I'm assuming that's where the heart of the game is at this point, where the game wins or dies, lives or dies, is in that toy box mode and creator-generated content, and if it's good or not. But I have no idea since I've never played a single second of it. And that does it. Oh god, I can't believe Pokemon's coming out. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure if I'm going to buy it or not because it'll kill me. Animal Crossing, that game hasn't been touched in forever. But yeah, that's like every Animal Crossing. Super addicted to it and then eventually it just dies. I think part of that is just how stupid and dumb Nintendo is still with online play. That is just, it's such a crappy system in there. The fact that you can't even send mail to one of your friends without being in their town is just dumb. But yeah, this is now officially the end. I'm really horrible at ending podcasts, as you can see. So goodbye, good night, let the bed bugs bite, because their bite is like sweet music to my ears. No, that doesn't even make sense. I was going to say it was like sweet sausage, but that was, that would have made even less sense. But yeah, have a great day, everyone. Adios.